everybody, and welcome. This is the Mazao Talks podcast, which is a platform for both knowledge sharing and peer-to-peer exchange between small and medium-scale farmers across Kenya.
We feature contributions by farmers, budding farmers, agri-food experts, as we drive discussions on good agricultural practices, as well as business opportunities that are readily available for the youth.
This podcast is made possible by the European Union-funded Market Access Upgrade Program, MACUP, which is implemented by United Nations Industrial Development Organization, UNIDO, and is produced right here at Semabox.
Yeah, so as we start, please remember to like, share, and subscribe on all our platforms. Our handle is at MACUP Kenya on Twitter, Instagram, as well as Facebook. For more information about any of the topics we discuss, please find us at macupkenya.org.
My good name is Jason.
I am Sheila.
And no matter who you are,
you can farm. Welcome to another amazing episode of the Mazao Talks podcast. It's so great that you guys are here with us. Thank you so much for tuning in. The Mazao Talks podcast is a platform for knowledge sharing and peer-to-peer exchange between small and medium-scale farmers across Kenya. This show features contributions by farmers, budding farmers, and agri-food experts. We want to drive discussions on good agricultural practices, as well as the business opportunities that are available in the farm produce value chain, especially for the youth. This podcast is made possible by the European Union-funded Market Access Upgrade Program, MACUP, which is implemented by the United Nations Industrial Development Organization, UNIDO, and produced at Semabox.
If you're new to the show, we are so glad that you have joined us, and we would like to thank you for taking your time to be here. We have a wealth of resources and information on different platforms, and we will be sharing that with you as we move along. Meanwhile, please feel free to follow, like, share, and most importantly, to subscribe. If you know someone who can further benefit from this, please share this with them and let them know we are on now. For more information on any of the topics we discuss and further useful resources, please find us at macupkenya.org. Connect with us on our socials. We are at macupkenya on Twitter, Instagram, and also on Facebook.
I have a question for you. When it comes to herbs and spices.
I heard you. Is it herbs?
I said herbs.
But you know, being Kenyan is so difficult because, you know, herb is all the same.
I'm talking about herbs, like H-E-R-B-S.
Oh, you mean herbs.
Yeah, where I'm from, it's herbs. Herbs, yeah. But today we're going to use herbs. Is that fine, Jason?
I'm perfect with that, herbs.
So, when it comes to herbs and spices, what are the most that you enjoy in your food? Do you cook using herbs and spices? And do you know the process of farming and processing herbs and spices? Can you imagine that well-made Swahili pilau with a mapochopocho and all? Or that well-marinated Kenyan nyama choma that is globally famous? Can you see it? That entire greatness is all the work of herbs and spices. To get us going, do you think you can tell us the Swahili and local indigenous names for the following herbs and spices? We have chives, rosemary, dill, marjoram, basil, mint, parsley, coriander, curry leaves, and celery. Can you? If you can, please go ahead and drop us a line in the comment section and we will give you a hamper. As they say in adverts, hurry up while stocks last. Commercially, herbs and spices have a large consumer base in Europe and the world in general, hence why it is such a good export market. Kenya made approximately 6.5 billion shillings in 2019 for the export of herbs and spices. And although that sounds like a big number, it actually only represents about 2% of the global export market. So this actually means that Kenya has a brilliant opportunity to grow this market share, especially since our climate is very favorable. A recent study by MACUP Kenya shows that a lot less herbs were exported against the production available. There are many reasons for this, but the major one is the Global GAP certification. So today we are in Nakuru County, specifically Subukia Sub-County. And with us, we have a wonderful lady. And I will just let her introduce herself because I don't think I can do justice to her.
Okay, I'm Luth Munyoro. I do farming at Subukia. My farm, our farm is located in Nakuru County, in Subukia Sub-County.
Mm.
And it's known as Itimo Worldwide Limited.
Asante sana for having us. You've taken us around the farm, and I mean, it's the amount of knowledge I've gotten from you is so much. So I wanted to know, if there's someone listening to the podcast, could you give us an overview of the crop production and the process from the time you start to the time you finish?
Okay. For the herbs, we have various varieties, and the timing differ from one variety to the other.
Mm.
There are those crops that take a shorter period, and there are also the other crops that take a longer period.
Mm.
I'll take some of the few of the crop that takes a shorter period, that is basil. For basil, goes for propagation for 3 weeks.
Mm.
Then after 3 weeks, you do the transplanting. After transplanting, you have to wait another 3 weeks. Then you start doing the harvesting.
Yeah.
For the basil, it will depend with the climate, because for the basil you need a warm area compared with other, and you must do it in a greenhouse. No shortcut for basil. It must be in a greenhouse.
Mm.
That is because that it attracts a lot of pests and also diseases, so it must be in an enclosed area. So the period that I may take for the from basil, from planting to harvesting, you take a period of 6 weeks, and then you are ready to do your first harvesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what do you produce the most, like from your farm here and also in the sector, what herbs are produced the most?
Okay. For the herbs, we always say that this market is a basket of it.
Mm.
But the one that carries a high percentage of the sales is the basil. Because client will not give you order of other product if you have no basil. Because basil takes 70% of the market, of the herbs market.
Yeah.
And it's easier to grow because you have to invest in a greenhouse first. Because of the various things that I've highlighted before, it is very attractive.
Mm.
And the way it is attractive, it also attracts a lot of pests and also diseases. So that's why I'm trying to say that you have to invest in a greenhouse for a basil if you want to start for a basil. But the output or the outcome, it's amazing.
Mm.
Because it's only a crop in the world you harvest every week. You harvest it today, then after 5-7 days, you're in the second harvest.
Again and again.
Yes, again and again. But we have maximum cuts, because the more it's growing old, the more the quality is decreasing.
Mm.
Some people will do even to 14 cuts. But it will depend on the client demand. Some client will tell you, I need a maximum of 8. Others will tell you 4. Others will tell you 10. And on and on.
Mm.
Also, the climate matters a lot.
Yeah.
Because the more it's in the better climate, and also the type of soil. The type of soil also matters a lot, because for those people who are doing in sandy soil, they will not harvest more cuts than the people who are doing in red soil or in cotton soil.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, Ruth, you know, like you said, this is a very lucrative business, and we are trying to get young people to try out these things. So maybe kuna a young person somewhere, they're listening to us right now, and they want to try basil, they want to try the chives, all the other herbs you showed us at your farm, but hawajui where they can start. What would you tell them right now? Wanzie wapi? What do they need to know? What do they need to do?
Okay, what they would need to know is that it's not all the crops that need a large investment. But the more you invest, the more the outcome and the heavier your pocket will be.
Mm.
Because for the chives and basil, the two crops, you have no shortcut.
Mm.
You have to start in a greenhouse. For a young farmer who wants to start farming and don't have that capital, because for the greenhouse, it's a huge investment, you can start with something we call outdoor. Outdoor is a just open land. And also, there are also crops that does well in outdoor, and you might not necessarily do them in the greenhouse.
Yeah.
What you need, you just need to talk with the companies who do propagation. You get seeds. And also, before you do planting, there are various things as I normally tell the farmers to do. One, climate. Climate matters a lot because you may have interest to do thyme. You may have interest to do rosemary. You may have to do another idea to do, but your climate or location of your land will put you off on that. So one thing, before you make a decision on which crop to plant, you have to look for the climate. The other thing you have to look is load network, because your produce will be ready, but you'll be able to be taking it to the market throughout the year. Does it mean when you are the rainy season, you're not, and your produce are ready? So there are so many things you have to look. One, I've said earlier, is the climate.
Yeah.
And two, the other thing is the type of the soil. There's also a mistake that most of the farmer does. They do the planting without doing something we call soil analysis. When you do the soil test, it will be able to tell you the content or the nutrient that are in the soil. So you see, most of this thing has become expensive because people will be feeding crops, and yet they have not, they are not sure of what they are feeding, because you know you have something like nitrogen, potassium. Every element or every nutrient it's useful to in one way to the other.
Yeah,
that's why I always advise farmers to do soil tests before you do any type of farming. Then the other thing is distance to airport, because these are perishable goods and they need to be airport the shortest time possible. So the farther you are, the more risky you are taking the business, because although nowadays there is something we call cold chain temperatures, that tells you that you can also in the Garissa and you try to transport your things in a refrigerated truck. So there are so many things you have to check, or as I've said earlier. But for the young youth who want to do the farming, the advice that I can tell them is to talk to the agronomists who are near them, so that they can know the best crop to grow on their area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You've mentioned to us about your company, Eat More Worldwide, and that you export a lot of the products you're growing here.
Yeah.
So do you feel like there's room for more people like you to join the industry? Do you need more?
Yes. For us, we do contract farmers, this on being. And in the hubs, they are taken in large volumes. In tons, you export tons and tons. As I said earlier, these are perishable goods. So for me to make a ton of the hubs produce, I'll take a week. What will happen to the crop that I harvested 5 days ago?
Yeah.
So for me, it's just within 1 day or 2 days, the product in the airport. So I'll do certain percentage, then I give another farmer to do the other percentage in order for me to make the big volume. So my point is, as we have said, that it's perishable. It's something not, I am just doing 2% of the market.
Wow.
You find most of the time I'm given orders, but I can't be able, even if, so the more people join this industry, the more I can assure people, whoever is listening me, market, the herbs market is very wide.
Yeah.
Because it is widely eaten in the whole world.
Mm.
So there is room for us to just do 2% of the orders that we are given.
Maybe you could tell us, what are some of our biggest markets that we export to?
For me, my biggest market is in UK. I also have a market in Saudi Arabia. I also have market in Russia and Netherlands. Although the other farmers or other clients who are interested, but my capacity or I don't satisfy them. I just satisfy their orders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the study done by Markup, we saw that farmers like you and contractors who do herbs and spices, they are more likely to be Global GAP certified than any of the other crops we've looked at in this podcast. Yeah. So maybe what do you think is the reason why herbs and spices, people are really making sure they're going for that certification?
Yes. You know, okay, that's a good question. I've talked about basil. You harvest it in every week. You'll find that most of the chemicals that the farmers use to pray for the basil, there's no chemicals you'll find having PHI. PHI, those are pre-harvest interval. That means when you spray it, it has some duration that the chemical has to clear.
Oh.
So you see, so they are very strict. More so in Basil, leave other crops.
Mm.
Basil is nice because you harvest every week. And also government of other countries, they have to make sure that the product they are getting for their citizen, it is free from the pest.
Yeah.
It is free from the chemicals. In order for you to be global gap certified, you cannot spot other things without the global gap. But for the Basil, you must have a global gap. Because of that, you can see the riskiness of spraying a chemical in 7 days and you need to harvest. So for the global gap, it's here to satisfy you that you follow all regulations. You follow all the regulations, you have the pack house, you have the grading area, you have the facilities needed, your product is taken in the temperature needed. That is why the government in other countries is very strict on this certificate. You must have a global gap.
Maybe I could just ask you, it's not here, but in terms of basil, like what do you do different from, you said it's very high risk. So are there like specific precautions you have to take that you don't necessarily take with the other herbs and spices?
Yeah. For me, I do pure organic. I do pure organic farming. And pure organic farming, I will not worry about the chemicals. Unlike other people, the product may be ready for harvest, but it has not cleared the PHI.
Oh.
You get my argument.
Yeah.
But when you use the chemical, you use the organic, you are sure of your crop is ready to be eaten at any time. That is a secret to use rather than other people uses.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about women and youth, especially women in this industry.
Yeah.
I've seen you have a couple of ladies working for you on the farm, even in the packing house. Are there more women and young people trying to join the industry in your view?
Yeah, for me, okay, there are very young people, so many young people who want to do the farming because, you know, for the farming, you are self-employed. You are not a dying one. And again, you have the experience too. You have the time to do all the experience. Unlike when you are employed. Because when you are employed, you have to work at a certain condition. Or you have to work at a certain protocol of the company.
Yeah.
But when you are in the farming, you have the field. It's you and the soil to look at which is the best thing to do. So you'll find that most of the youth have now come to realize that the farming sasa pesa iko kwa mchanga. Unlike before, watu wengi wakisikia, even the taking the courses for related to the farming, you'll find it very few ladies or very few youth taking the same code. But now since the agriculture industry it's growing, and maybe people for us, like us, they are challenging some people. People have changed their mind.
Yeah.
So for me, I can see more so many women doing farming and also the youth. So I'm getting encouraged because unlike the three years ago, now people have now embraced the
They're putting in effort.
Yeah.
A challenge we keep hearing of, especially with the youth and women, is land, getting access to land. Either, you know, it's a husband or it's children are not able to use the land because their parents won't give them permission. How are you able to overcome that and establish what you have now?
Okay. What I can say is that I can tell whoever is listening to me is that the problem you have, somebody somewhere has a solution. It's only that you don't know where that somebody is. Somebody somewhere is ready to lease a land. And also somebody somewhere is ready to take the land. So getting a land is not an issue because I always say that, like for me, when I started, I had no capital. I had the knowledge of the farming, but I had no capital. What did I do? I look for someone with the capital, but not
knowledge.
So when we combined, that's why we are here. So I can encourage you that all women, the problem you have, somebody has a solution
for
somewhere.
You.
So it's not necessarily that you start with a big capital. You can also take your knowledge. Someone else has the capital And I have seen it working with so many people.
For
because for me, people are calling me every day. Ruth, I have a rad. Mm. What can I do? But I can't be able to be everywhere. So that tells you people are ready and willing to do farming, but they have no. For us, it's only to come to farm like Itimo, get the knowledge, and then use the knowledge. And you're good to go.
Yeah.
So let them not sit back and say they have no capital. Let them look for someone with the capital or someone with the land, and they combine their knowledge and they move on.
Once again, Ruth, thank you so much for having us here. Your farm is very impressive and very inspiring. And also hearing your journey and how you started has been quite amazing. And I think I have to say congratulations on a job well done.
Thank you.
This has been really, really inspiring.
Thank you.
Let's talk about traceability, because it's something that we keep hearing most farmers talking about.
Yeah.
The kind of traceability you're doing on your farm, this is out of interest. Is it manual or is it digital? Are you using like barcodes or is it manual records?
For us, we use manual records.
Okay.
Because in the farm, there's a form that you have to fill every day.
Okay.
That signed by the person that I'm talking about, the qualified agronomist.
Yeah.
Today I sprayed this chemical. I was targeting this.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I was targeting in my chemical. This is the expected date. And this is the expected day of harvest.
Okay.
Before you do any harvesting, you have to go the record. I want to harvest this block. It is ready. Then, before you start harvesting, you have to look at the record of the broke.
Mm.
You see, so if it is not ready, if the chemical is not cleared and the crop is ready, you have no solution. Also in the past, we have most of the farmers have that problem.
Mm.
Basil grow fast, as it's in the home media. So you find that you have traded a chemical 7 days, but within 5 days, basil is ready. What are you going to do? You have to wait for the 7 days, and the more you wait, the more it overgrows.
Yeah.
And if it overgrows, you're out of market. So that's why I'm saying you have to look for a qualified, no shortcut.
Okay.
You have to look for a qualified agronomist to advise you on the same.
How, in your opinion, do you think farmers in the herb sector can upgrade quickly? What are some of the things they can do to reach rapid growth?
Okay. One, as I have highlighted earlier, before you do planting, you have to do some research.
Yeah.
Like for me, I have a problem because you'll find the farmer calling you, please do they have this product, come for it.
Mm.
And maybe that farmer never informed you even in the first
place. In the beginning,
The market, you always have something we call forecast.
Mm.
You talk with your client. From this month, I want this and this and this and this.
Mm.
In this week, because we work in a week,
yeah.
I want this and this and this.
Mm.
So for me, maybe you are calling me for basil. And already I had basil field for that day.
Mm.
For one, do market research. That is where all the farmers feel. They don't know what the market needs. Because you just hear by someone knows me as market. He has planted and he don't know where the market is. So before to do this, that to make the farmer grow, they have to do market research.
Mm.
There's no shortcut on that. So that, because you know, for this product, the market demand, it's different.
Yeah.
The demand that is needed in UK, it's not the market that
in
is
a different market,
in the Russia or Netherlands.
Mm.
So before you do any planting, you have to know where is my market? Who am I targeting? That's what I'm saying. The general of all this is market research.
What are some of the other things one can do other than maintaining certain standards to protect your market share?
One.
Mm.
There are some people who are doing outgrowing. Outgrowing has put people off. Reason why.
Mm.
In my farm, I'll be able to control everything that is happening, starting from spraying, harvesting, achieving the quality. But for the outgrowing, this is a different person. So if you want to achieve the best quality, the outgrower should be under you. You are the one to oversee. Not the kind of calling someone, hello, do you have them? Yeah, I need 30 kgs. Yes, you bring the 30 kgs. You don't know how it harvested. You don't know the handling. You don't know the chemicals. The farmer will just bring. And when you export that product to the European country, they don't know the outgrower.
They know you
as a farmer. So you are also killing your company in one way or the other.
Yeah.
Because also the competition there, it's high.
Mm.
You know, all these destination of markets to the all the client is the same.
Yeah.
You get?
Yeah.
So you find all the client in the one market.
Where and not, you, yes. Yeah, and not just locally, it's globally.
It's globally. Yeah. So that you see. So and we tell you, Itimo has no. So you are building your name or you are destroying your name. Mm. So the content of all this is that if you have to source, please don't just source. Don't have that. Usikuwe na tamaa sana. Ati nimeitishwa kilo tani moja ya kitu fulani, so unaitisha nilete, and you don't know even the quality, you don't know the feeding, you don't know. There are so many things you check in a crop. So that has killed so many companies. Even if you talk to some of the companies, they'll tell you the product that they maybe they were caught with with the other head or the pest, it was not from their farm. So I always tell people, be very careful.
Start small and be patient.
Yes. Yes, okay. You better pack your 200 kgs that you have found from Itimo and you are sure of quality than supplying 5 tons of things that you have not even seen in your naked eyes. Yeah.
Ah, thank you. Mm. In terms of value addition for better market prices, what room do we have for value addition? Is it cheaper to process locally or just sell the raw products?
Okay. It's a difficult question because, okay, now people are being... Even Kenyans, now they are learning on how to consume these herbs. Even if you have, I have some workers here, if some of them must do, they will ask you, where they are the one who are packing, but they will ask you, he's going to pereka wapi, ni za nini? Where di amepada? That is fun out of it.
Yeah.
But just ask yourself, why are the European, yeah, giving us, why are they not growing on their head? Why are they not growing on their head? They want to source from Kenya.
Yeah.
See, for me, I'm even if I'm getting another product somewhere, I'm growing my own. Mm. Why are these clients not getting their farm and do farming on their head?
Yeah.
I don't know whether you have ever asked yourself another question. That you didn't ask that question. So my point is this: in Kenya, the main challenge that people have.
Mm-hmm.
If you have no market, I've said earlier, don't try to plant. If you have no reliable, not only the market,
reliable market.
Herbs we have low season and high season.
Mm.
Let me talk about high season. Okay. What is high season for us herbs?
Mm-hmm.
And this year we did not experience low season because herbs consumption in that European country, imepada juu. Now people, when Corona came, everyone knows I have to be fit. I have to take. So they are taking a lot of herbs.
Okay.
Unlike so, the other years before.
So Corona has been a blessing in disguise for
us. For herb farmers. To be honest on that.
Yeah.
Because and then high season is when in Europe they experience winter.
Yeah.
Winter climate.
Mm.
The other head. So they don't grow. They rely on. Mm. They rely on importing.
Importing.
That
yeah.
now from Kenya or
yeah.
the other.
Yeah.
So during that time, everyone needs product because they are not growing on. Even the other farmers who have the smaller garden there, they can't grow on that head because of the that climate. So you find that high season when the place is cold for us is a advantage to us. Since we have a blessed country, we can grow at any time during rainy season. The herbs have to the herb farming has to continue. So what I'm trying to say is that it depends a lot also.
Okay.
It depends a lot also with the consumption.
Okay.
Yeah. So locally, I can't advise people to target the local market.
Local market.
Because they'll just take 2 kgs and you have a plantation of meat about 1 ton.
Yeah.
Then a supermarket tell you, bring for me 10 kgs. You'll not be able to tell when living is selling the 1 ton. So that's why we target the export, because you ask you the whole or all, they ask you, what do you have? I have 10 tons, bring it. You get.
Okay.
So it's rather than selling the whole product and harvesting the whole product and selling the way it is. I can't encourage you on local market, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
My final question is just imagine. Imagine that I gave you $1 million today in cash.
I'm not imagining, you are giving me.
Okay, here is $1 million.
Here
is $1 million.
You know, it's how many people? Van.
yes. I've given you $1 million. Okay. That's about 100 and something million shillings. Mm. Where would you invest it in as far as Hubs are concerned? Is it in the... Just tell me where you'd put that money.
As Hubs is concerned?
Yeah.
I would invest in greenhouses. Mm. I invest in greenhouses because I told you that we have a crop like basil. When you're in the third harvest, already you have got your money back. Ah. So I invest 1 billion or 100 million. Mm. And I'm very sure in 2 months' time, I'll have 3 times double on that.
300.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time and thank you for having us.
Yeah.
It's been really amazing and we are so grateful. Thank you.
All right, that's it for this week. We want to finish by saying a big thank you to all our guests today. We also want to say a big thank you to UNIDO under the EU-supported Markup Program for making this podcast possible. Please feel free to like, share, and subscribe to all our content. You can connect with us on social. We are at Markup Kenya on Twitter and Instagram, and our Facebook page is Markup Kenya. Remember, you can check out the program website on at markupkenya.org. You can find all the links and handles in the episode notes in the description section.
Wishing you a great week ahead, and remember, no matter who you are,
you can farm.